Keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk. Church, I am your host with the most, Evangelist Philana, a.k.a. Bonafide Talk, and you are listening to the Christian radio broadcast, Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us today and equally delighted about our featured guest this evening. But before we get started, let us please open up tonight's radio broadcast with a prayer, okay? So let us clear our hearts and minds at this time, please. Dear God, we want to say thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for all of your blessings that you have bestowed upon us. I ask you to give me and our featured guest the appropriate words to say so that we are able to minister to the needs of your people. I ask that you shield us from the tactics of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, up to and including trying to block this message from coming from tonight's radio broadcast. It is all about you, dear God. Dear God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. Family, we're going to go into a quick commercial break. Here is a message from our sponsor, Pastor Frank Henderson of Excel Fellowship.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Frank Henderson, the pastor of Excel Fellowship Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an honor to meet you and to come to you right here on Bonafide Radio. Check it out. Excel Fellowship Church, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 3908 Arrow Drive, right here in the big city of Raleigh, North Carolina. Our mission is real simple. We are reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and manifesting Christ. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Okay, now let's get back to Bonafide Talk.
Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk right now live. Later on, you'll hear the archive to the show on the BFTM 103.3 radio network. Hey, that's a 24/7 operation, guys. You can access that internet radio station at getbonafide.org. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to present our featured guest. I am so thrilled to have this woman of God back on Bonafide Talk. I had the pleasure of working with her some years back. The queen of gospel spoken word. This young lady is loved all over the world, from California to Kalamazoo. She is known, she is loved, because when she brings the spoken word, she brings the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, with no further delay, here is Jamie Elizabeth Hodges. Hey, girl.
Hi. So glad to see you here.
Wow. You are the queen.
I am so glad to be here.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, you just left not too long ago, came to my neck of the woods, actually North Carolina, right, to do a tour or something
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. No, we weren't on tour. That was a time of rest and revival for me. I was with a group, I believe. I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to release their name, so I'm going to be very careful about that. But it was Apostles and Leadership, basically Apostles and Leadership Conference. And the one thing I love about them is they describe themselves as the church without walls. And they really are the church without walls. Like, I follow their mission, their ministry, everything is just what I'm all about.
Okay. Okay, all right, that sounds wonderful. Okay, so now what you said what you're all about, could you elaborate on that a little bit more for us?
Well, basically the way they operate, and it was, we had a beautiful time in North Carolina. We were in New Bern. And the way that they operate is, from what I gathered, was that they basically they come together as a group and they basically worship together. They praise God together. They meet together, eat together, you know, stay in a hotel, kind of spend time in fellowship together. But meanwhile, we all go to different churches, and those that are, from what I gathered myself, I could be wrong, but from what I gathered, those that are not ordained or those that are not appreciated, that have their gifts appreciated inside of their home churches or inside of their specific churches, have their gifts appreciated, honored, and they are ordained within the ministry itself. So it's a beautiful, beautiful group by, led by two wonderful people, and I mean, two wonderful apostles, I should say, and I mean, the way it's set up is just, it's wonderful. Like, it's totally a Paul and Timothy experience. Like how Paul basically was the apostle, and he traveled around to the different churches and wrote the church's letters and different things like that, but how he went to Timothy and prayed for him and said, you know what, yes, you're pastoring over this church, but let me pray this blessing over you, and told Timothy, hey, stir up the gift. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. So that's what they basically do, and it's not a sort of coddling cotton candy, you know, we love you, kind of like bump you up kind of thing. It is. It's all about love, but there's correction in there, too. There's everything. It's a wonderful group, and when they correct, they correct in love. Like, even when there was not a time that I was there that I did not feel love. Not
Amen.
A time. When I slept, I felt love.
Amen. Wow, that's so just beautiful. A beautiful thing. That's, you know, speaking of that, we're going to tap into that, as you know, Lady Jamie, in just a little bit about the different types of hurts that we experience, you know, in this walk with Christ, et cetera. We're going to tap into that in just a little bit. But, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you that Lady Jamie is the queen of spoken word, I meant that thing. We're going to get just a touch of what this young lady is capable of. Here is Speak Life by none other than Jamie Elizabeth Hodges.
Speak Life. When the devil tries to speak death into my situation, I say no. I speak life. When I ask God for strength just so that I can make it, God says yes. He speaks life. When storm clouds pass over and the raindrops do fall, I dance in the rain. I feel alive. Hands cuffed, feet shackled, bound, broken, and restrained. I declare I'm free. I am alive. God promised to give me life, and that's more abundantly. I say it is so. I speak life. Like a raging rabid dog, the devil snaps at my skin. Oppressed, depressed, I refuse to give in. Though he tries to press down hard, God lifts me high, deep within. I hold my head high, and I speak life. Staring down a dark and lonely road that appears to have no end. Stepping out on shaky ground. I look around, I can't find a friend. The enemy tries to play on my intellect. Tells me I haven't got a friend. Where is this God that you serve, who promised you peace deep within? I flip my head back and say, get behind me, Satan. I rebuke you, you old disgusting fool. You're nothing, nothing but a tool. But as for me, I have it all. I stand tall and speak life. And as I walk, I look down. One set of footprints becomes two. I look to my right. I say, who's there? I hear a voice say, it's just me, and I've never left you. I've been here all along. I gave you the courage. I've seen you through. But there's one more thing that you must do. You have to stand and speak life. At all times, there is someone speaking. Don't let the enemy speak mess over you. This is your life. Take it back. Live. Stand and speak. speak life.
Wow.
Jamie, I love all of your work. You know that. But that right there, Bonafide Talk, is one of my favorites. Because when I hear that, you speak life into any dead situation that I will be having right then. And that right there is just a blessing and clearly a God-given talent. What inspired you to begin doing spoken word?
At a time when I didn't know what spoken word was. I actually didn't know what it was that I was doing. I actually thought there was something wrong with me because the church I recently came from, I was asked to, for the pastor's anniversary about maybe 15 years ago, I was asked to write a little, what they call them, recitations, you know, the little speeches they give kids. And
right.
I was asked to write a little recitation for the anniversary. And so I started writing, and I was like, wait, why is it, as I'm writing, I'm noticing that the lines are rhyming, and they came out in full iambic pentameter. That's a poetry term. And I was like, why is this happening? I'm not Dr. Seuss. I balled it up, threw it away, started over again. Noticed that it started happening again. So I said, okay, let me just flow with this and see where it goes. I was like, okay. So after I saw it, I took it to church, I read it, and everybody loved it. He loved it. Like, they just, they loved it. So I realized, okay, maybe this is something new that God is trying to do in my life. And that's what really started me writing it. Now, what keeps me writing it is affliction.
What do you mean?
yeah, I realize you can't make a statement like that and cut it off. Affliction, basically, just to give you a description, the poem Stand. One of, I mean, and I tell people I laugh about this all the time because Stand has been out there. It's been on CD for about since October of 2011 and just now started doing very well in Spain. You know, but everybody loves this poem.
Awesome.
And that I wrote for my best friend, my grandmother, who died in 2012. I wrote it for her when she was in a state where she was sick, and we knew that she was dealing with a lot. And I wrote it at a time when I knew, basically, that she was on her way out. So it was a couple of months before she passed away that I wrote that poem, and I read it at a funeral. I am blessed. It's on YouTube. It was my first video, and that poem was written as a result of me getting evicted out of my apartment. It's just, it's the way God deals with me. It's not a whole, I've never been, like, I've never had parents, so I've never been loved and coddled and, hey, it's going to be okay. I've had to, you know, grab myself up by my bootstraps, the back of my collar, and pick myself up out the bed when I'm feeling, you know, like this morning was a really tough day. And, I mean, I'm the type of person who have to pick myself up. I have to, you know, give myself the pat on the back to say, okay, it's going to be all right, you know.
That's
and
right.
So that I can get to where I need to go so that I can minister to other people. It's always about helping people. For me, it's always about helping people and helping people get delivered while I'm going through. It's like I think about the three that were in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in the fire, if I come and I bring people out, we will all come out together and nobody will smell like smoke. So it's not even about, like, I look at every situation, and even after I saw the topic that you posted for this show, I mean, after what I've been through on this week, I don't think I've exhaled all week. I really don't. And it's been a tough week. And I just, you know, I'm thanking God because now, you know, I get to, even though I'm still in the process of going through what I'm going through, as many things that I'm going through, I get to be a conduit and help people out there that may have gone through it, may be in the process of going through it, or are about to go through it, you know. But I lay myself down. I lay down when I said I become a Christian and I become a minister for Christ. I laid my life down and said I'll become that conduit, Jesus. You can, you know, I'll pick up my cross and I will follow you. I'll take up that cross. That cross isn't always easy. Sometimes it's painful. You know, actually most times, all the time it's painful because it's a cross, you know. But I pick up that cross and I follow God and I say, okay, you know, I'm going to help other people as they travel along. Hey, you got a cross? Let me help you along. You know, we all got a cross. We all got splinters in our back. Let's help each other, you know. So that's what the poetry is to me.
Wow. What an inspiration. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anyone who has a question or a comment or who would like to participate in tonight's discussion, dial now 347-327-9688 and press 1. Jamie, we have a caller. Call with a number ending in 6195. You are now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Hello, ladies. This is Robin. I'm a little hoarse, so y'all please forgive me. This is Robin.
Hey, honey.
Hey, how you doing? I have a question and I have a comment. And my question is for clarification. Did you say you write out of affliction?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I feel you on that. I'm a writer as well. I write books and poems, and I'm dabbling a little bit in songwriting. And I found out the first song that I wrote it sort of out of affliction. And you know what I did? I turned around and thanked the guy. I really did. I thanked him because I said if I hadn't gone through this, this song may not have been as powerful as it is. And
wow.
I went back and looked at some of my poems, and I noticed I do write out of, I always say pain, I write out of hurt and pain. But then I have some poems that I wrote not because I went through anything in the poem. It was because God, and you said that, you know, you felt like this was something God was leading you to do, or you asked God, was he giving you something new to do or something. And I understand that because when I first started writing, I remember I wrote this poem, which was like a two-part poem, and my pastor said it came up to me after I read it in a talent show or something. He said, where do you get this from? Because it was talking about being on drugs and drinking and, you know, being with all these different men or women. And I hadn't gone through that. But it was almost like I could feel other people's pain. And I was writing for them as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you ever get that?
I do. Absolutely, I do. And I just realized one of my gifts is basically, I have a prophetic gift, and I see, but I'm a seer, but I see differently than most people do. And so I'm able to see and feel and, you know, just basically
mm-hmm.
I see what a person might be going through. And so,
mm-hmm.
like for me, I've never smoked, drank, I've never been to a club. Like, I've been a church girl my whole life. But I can relate to people that are going through and have been through certain things. Why? Because God gives me that empathy, that compassion
mm-hmm.
for that person, and will show me, even in a dream, or will show me, I'll look at a person, just to give you an example, I'm walking out of the store yesterday, and I'm like, God, you know, what's going on? It's been a while since you've spoken to me about anyone. And he let me know, well, Jamie, I can't speak to you if you lock yourself up in your room. And I've just been so upset. I've just been so upset about what I'm going through that I've been locked up in my room all week, literally. The first time I came out was yesterday to go walking. And so
wow.
I said, wow. So as I'm walking out of the Dollar General, having this conversation with him, I saw a guy take this girl by her hair and push her into the store. And when he saw me, he kind of dropped his hand really quick. So you understand what I'm saying? So I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
I have, you know I know I have somebody to pray for, but I now also know I cannot stay in the situation. I cannot stay inside of my muck and mire and say, okay, this is all about me and just swim in my mud and just, this is a big pity party, pity and plum party, poor little old me, plum. You understand what I'm saying? This is not about me. It's about me being out there delivering people. So absolutely, like even if you haven't been through it, if you have a gift or something that has been given to you by God, especially because gifts and callings come without repentance. Gifts and callings of God come without repentance. So you have, if you have something that you did not go to school for, that you took no training for, and you can just do it, then that's something that's given by God and it's meant to minister to his people. And it's not just the saved people and the saints and the aints in church.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
everybody, because you never know who you're going to reach. I've done
you're
this one
exactly
poem that
right.
I do at open mic nights. I do it in bars. I've done it everywhere. And I've had people, I had the one woman at the bar run from the back of the bar with a drink in her hand to the front of the bar, jumping up and down. She was not drunk. She had just gotten there when I had gotten there. It was another guy who spun around on his bar stool, cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And so I know what God can do even in the situation, because like church people, worldly people, people in the house, people at the carnival, they're all people. God uses our words and our gifts to deliver people, not saints, not ain'ts,
but people. So, yes, absolutely, God will use your gifts. I'm sorry if I'm yelling at you, but God will use your gifts to deliver people.
Yes.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
I have that same gift for prophecy as well, and I'm a seer. I write lots of skits and poems and stuff, and I see stuff, and it's funny you mentioned two things real quick. I remember one day I was in a Dollar General, and this little girl asked her mother for some ice cream, and the mother looked at her, and she balled her face up, and she said, no, and she walked off. And, you know, and when people do stuff with children and get angry with children, you know, it's like my blood get a little warm, but this particular time it didn't. And I had asked God to show me people's hearts because I had a big heart, and people just used me, right? And I was like, wait a minute. God don't intend for us to be used like this. I said, well, God, start showing me people's hearts. Well, God showed me that lady's heart. She wanted that little girl to have that ice cream, but all she had, the money she had, was all she had, and she didn't have enough. And it hurt her that she had to tell her no again. So I purchased the ice cream. I took it to the counter, and I went back and I asked the lady, and I whispered because I didn't want the little girl to hear. And I said, do you mind if I bless her with the ice cream? And she said, she just stopped, and she said, no, I don't mind. And then she was looking at me. So when I'm walking out of the store, I told the cashier, I said, the lady who's holding the receipt, she's headed up here. She's going to get the ice cream. So she said, okay. And I was just about to look back, and God said, don't look back. So, and I'm getting in my truck, and I was like, what's that about, God? Don't look back. Mm-hmm. God said, because you don't need to be the hero on that little girl. Her mom does.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he started just showing me things like this over and over again. The second thing you mentioned about the bar, going in the bar. Well, I got trapped a couple of weekends in a bar because we were supposed to stay with my cousin. He wasn't home. We were just riding around. The only thing open late at night is it was like a bar-type restaurant. So we went there, and we were having fun. We were doing karaoke. But then this other girl asked about us coming and doing open night with poetry and stuff in a bar. And I was like, she was kind of chastising people. Y'all say it's nothing to do, and now we got this to do, and nobody wants to come. So I inboxed her. I said, well, maybe it's because it's in a bar. People who, Christian people, we don't want to go to bars and stuff, but we wouldn't mind it. And so now that you're saying, I'm thinking about it, maybe there's somebody there that could be reached. And I'm sitting here judging the place. And so I thank you for saying that. Now, I don't have my poems and stuff memorized. I have to go up there with paper in my hand, but when you said that, I said to myself, you need to get out Thursday night and go down there and read your Christian, I don't call them Christian poetry, but it does have the word in them. But, so
absolutely.
I thank you because that was a revelation for me.
I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Robin, you have something. Some years ago, in fact, I can tell you the exact date almost, it was the night that Michael Jackson died.
Wow.
And you talk about somebody, my mother, my family, they were in South Carolina, and it was my introduction as a public speaker in Raleigh, North Carolina. I had been told about this place that people can go to for open mic or whatever, okay? So back up a little bit. When I went to go sign up to let them know that I had a desire to come forth and, you know, be a public speaker or an inspirational speaker, et cetera, you know, I was greeted with open arms, okay? I practiced, and the night that Michael Jackson died, I was devastated. You hear me? I mean, I grew up to Mick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I called my mom hysterical, and they didn't believe me. They thought that I had heard something wrong or saw something incorrect on Facebook or whatever, but woe betide, of course, the king of pop died. So anyway, pulled myself up by my bootstraps, and I did what I had to do. Apparently, I did a very good job. Two things. One, I got several emails telling me that they needed to hear it. It was a speech that God had given me regarding codependency, whether it be on alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, men, whatever, or a codependency to being, you know, because sometimes we can get, there are people that get dependent upon being depressed. You know what I'm saying? So I tapped into all those different arenas, right? Do you know they told me not to come back? They told me not to come back because, see, it was in a bar setup.
Yeah, you did bad business for them. You did bad business for them. Yes, yes, you
told
did.
Me, let me tell you something. Y'all excuse my French, but this is what she said. The woman that organized it told me to not bring my black ass back there no more. That's what the woman told me.
Wow.
And I asked her why. She said, you were supposed to have been being an inspiration, not a preacher. Now, I didn't know at that point. Well, no, I kind of knew it. I knew in 2003, 2004 that I had been called a preacher while I was running. I had no idea that God was preparing me for doing what I do now, you know, evangelizing, that type of thing. But, yeah, she cussed me out and told me not to go, but the point, told me not to come back. But the point I'm making is, you're right, guys, we can reach people anywhere. And, Jamie, you hit a valid point. We're not in this for the people that, quote unquote, already have it together. We're here to redeem, to reach out to the lost.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We're here to reach out to the lost. We're here to go to the bars and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Put that drink down. Let's go party and have a good time, but let's get us some soda. Come with me to church one Sunday. Check out what I'm about. You know, see what God is about. That's what this Christian walk is about. You understand what I'm saying? So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to hear another selection, because this is what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. We have to speak life into people's lives. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
It's Speak Life by none other than our featured guest, Miss Jamie Hodges.
Speak Life.
When the devil tries to speak death into my situation, I say no. I speak life. When I ask God for strength just so that I can make it, God says yes. He speaks life. When storm clouds pass over and the raindrops do fall, I dance in the rain. I feel alive. Hands cuffed, feet shackled, bound, broken, and restrained, I declare I'm free. I am alive. God promised to give me life, and that more abundantly. I say it is so. I speak life. Like a raging rabid dog, the devil snaps at my skin. Oppressed, depressed, I refuse to give in. Though he tries to press down hard, God lifts me high, deep within. I hold my head high, and I speak life. Staring down a dark and lonely road that appears to have no end. Stepping out on shaky ground. I look around, I can't find a friend. The enemy tries to play on my intellect. Tells me I haven't got a friend. Where is this God that you serve, who promised you peace deep within? I flip my head back and say, get behind me, Satan. I rebuke you, you old disgusting fool. You're nothing, nothing but a tool. But as for me, I have it all. I stand tall and speak life. And as I walk, I look down. One set of footprints becomes two. I look to my right. I say, who's there? I hear a voice say, it's just me, and I've never left you. I've been here all along. I gave you the courage. I've seen you through. But there's one more thing that you must do. You have to stand and speak life. At all times, there is someone speaking. Don't let the enemy speak mess over you. This is your life. Take it back. Live. Stand and speak life.
Wow. Amazing. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk live right now. Hey, later on, the archive to the show is going to be on the BFTM Radio Network. You can access that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at getbonafide.org. Tonight, we have with us the legendary queen of gospel spoken word. Let's give it up one more time, guys, for Jamie Hodges. Yes, honey. Yes, ma'am. So, Miss Jamie, sometimes I think it does require us to hurt a little bit or hurt a lot in order for a message to come forth, because it's like my cousin says sometimes, no test, no testimony. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's just how it is, you know. And, you know, I did a little research prior to tonight's discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do. We keep it bona fide, but we keep it biblically bona fide. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go into another quick commercial break. I want you to go ahead and get your stuff together, get your Bible, pen, and paper, because we're going to go over a few scriptures regarding what we've been talking about or what we're going to be continuing to talk about. So for right now, here is Donna Saintville, representative for Lincoln Heritage.
Hi, I'm Donna Saintville. I'm your ambassador. I represent your community. Here at Lincoln Heritage, we offer free educational workshops on different types of life insurance. We want to ensure proper coverage to help alleviate stress on your loved ones during those difficult times. To learn more about what we offer, please call at 252-468-2147. Again, that number is 252-468-2147.
Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. You're listening to Bonafide Talk live right now. Jamie, let's go back just a second to the scripture that's kind of like the format of tonight's discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to John chapter 10, verses 10. That's John chapter 10, verses 10. And I'm reading from King James, guys. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they may have life and that might have it more abundantly. Jamie, that screams volumes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? Now, I don't want the family to take this the wrong way. Because I'm far from not believing in God. I'm one of the biggest ambassadors for God, and I'm a cheerleader for God, okay? But, Jamie, what would you advise to someone who hears that, but they're going through so much hell that they hear it, but they're not believing?
Wow. I have been in that position repeatedly since I was young.
Amen.
Because you know a little bit of my testimony, Evangelist Solana, but I mean, going from being diagnosed, institutionalized, beat half to death, I was a cutter. Like, I mean, just everything, like a pile on top of pile. I was a cutter before I even knew what the term cutting meant. I was a cutter when I was 13 years old, and cutting wasn't popular back then, especially not in kids from Newark, New Jersey. You know, they didn't cut, they just shot each other. So I was a cutter, you know. So it was a different lifestyle, a different thing that I was going through. But as far as that scripture goes, I mean, I can only say one thing, because that's one of my favorite scriptures, and I love how Joyce Meyer, I mean, she centers her ministry around that. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I focus on the steal, kill, destroy, and the life, and then the life more abundantly. Yes, the enemy will come in your life to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His goal is to take everything that he possibly has. Like, if you think about, I think it's a grape. And you take that grape and you picture what a grape is. A grape is round, it's plump. But when it becomes a raisin, that means that everything is just all the nutrients and everything. I wouldn't say the nutrients, but everything is dried out of it, is brought out of it, you know, to the point where it's shriveled up. You know, even I believe that it may be Langston Hughes that wrote a poem about a raisin in the sun.
It
might be Langston Hughes, I'm not sure. But, yeah, like a raisin in the sun. Not only are you burnt, not only have you were a plump grape where you were juicy, you were tasty, you know, you could supply some sort of liquid to anybody else dehydrated, but the enemy's desire is to steal everything that's life-giving and everything that can supply life to you out of you, to drain you of your very essence, that you have nothing else to feed on yourself, and not only not yourself, but anybody around you. But God comes that you might have a life and life more abundantly. And I love the way in that scripture that he says life, and then life more abundantly. Because he doesn't come just to give us a life down here. Yes, we're going to have life down here. We're going to have life, you know, live here. We're going to get what we need, get our needs supplied. Because, yes, my God can supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, correct? But he's not only going to, he doesn't only come to supply your needs here and give you life here, but he wants you to have life and life more abundantly. That means he's willing to, according to Ephesians 3:20, it says that God can exceed every expectation. He don't want you just live. He don't want you just barely make it by. He don't want you to survive, but he wants you to live. Like, he wants you to live with power, walk around with some sort of gumption inside of you. Like the Bible says, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, asking to receive grace and mercy and get what we need from our Father. We are King's kids. So, yes, he decided that we not only have life, but he wants us to have life plus life more abundantly. There's a plus in there that they forgot to write in there, but I see the plus. I got the plus.
Amen.
I got the memo.
Amen. I know that's right. So you got that memo, and it's never going to be
released. I got that memo. I found that memo.
I know that's right. Now, here's the thing. This is, as you know, Jamie, you and I have talked extensively about the mission and the goal of Bonafide Talk and actually the BFTM Radio Network, okay? The deal is applying the Bible to everyday life, okay? And when we started talking about this particular episode, the thing that came to mind for me that just kind of rung a bell was the scripture wherein Jesus had fasted for 40 days. Right? Mm. And Satan came to him with all kinds of game, if you will. But every time Satan came with his slick stuff, what did Jesus do? He beat him down with the word. Amen?
It is written.
He truly had the word. You understand what I'm saying? He truly had the word. Now, check this out. You know, I think that sometimes as strong women or as strong men or as Christian, veteran Christians who've been saved almost all their life, we find that we find ourselves in a situation where we begin to feel a little guilty, if you will, because we get weak or we get depressed or we start wondering which way is up. But even Jesus, during that time period when he was in the flesh, had to kind of sit down and chill out for a second and have someone watch over him for a second. You remember that part when the angels came to minister to him? You know, so if our Lord and Savior here on earth, if he had to go through something and suffer a little bit, then glory be to God. I think that he understands when we wonder sometimes, God, where are you? I'm hurting. I'm going through things. You know, I can imagine also another example of what I'm speaking of. Remember that in Matthew, I believe, when, you know, his boys were right there. Remember Jesus was on the boat, right? And he was trying to get some sleep. Right? The waves and the wind was kicking their tail. You hear me? Can you imagine? Well, of course we can imagine, because if we compare this to life, you'll see what I'm happening. You where I'm going with this, okay? The wind and the waves and the seawater was kicking their behind. So what did they do? They woke Jesus up, right? Remember? You know what I'm talking about? They woke Jesus
up.
And what did Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
Jesus woke up.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I can imagine he was saying to himself, you know, he's trying to get some sleep, bless his heart. You know, he's rubbing his eyes. Yeah, he can't even get a nap. He calms the water. He says, ye of little faith. So what's the point that I'm making? The point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to cry. It's okay to reach out to a prayer warrior. You guys know I live on Facebook. Reach out to a sister. I'm always going to be here for you, okay? Reach out to people that you know have your back, okay? Have them pray with you. And that right there is Bonafide Talk. Amen. Amen. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone has a question or comment or would like to contribute further to tonight's discussion, dial now 347-327-9688 and press 1, okay? That's 347-327-9688. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about North Carolina time. Let's try this again. 347, guys, 327-9688. 9688, press 1. I was telling them, call me. I'm thinking about my own phone number,
okay? Call your cell phone.
Yeah, honey, you know, but call me. You know, speaking of that, you know, I don't mind putting that out there, guys. I'm a sister. I'm not the gospel type of preacher. You know, there's some preachers out here, unfortunately, that like to talk a whole lot, Jamie, you know, and we're going to talk about church hurt in just a second. Like to do a whole bunch of talking, you know, and don't make people feel too comfortable. So what we're going to do, I'm going to put my number out there. My number is 919-428-4335, 919-428-4335. And if you need someone to talk to, let's talk, okay? Main thing I'm trying to say right now is there's one thing that we have that will beat Satan's tail every single time. We have the Word. We have the Word. We have the Bible to our fingertips. You've got the Word right now, guys, by Jamie Elizabeth Hodges.
You've got the Word. Hit on all sides, falling through space, through time, through seasons, spring, summer, winter, and fall. Drowning, can't breathe, dying, body breaks, back pinned against a brick wall. But I've got the Word. There's no chains holding me. The Word, you heard me? Resist him, y'all. He's got to flee. John 10:10 said the Lord gave us life, and life he gave us more abundantly. Stand tall, stand strong and proud, and rest on the Word. The enemy comes with his chains to beat me down and cause great pain. But I look him dead in his eye. I'm a baller, son. I now have new life. I tell that turd to back up off me. Yeah, I once was blind, but now I see. And now I'm focused on what lies before me. And that's the Word. So when you think all hope is lost and your fate has been sealed, rest assured, you've got the Word. Victory, power over death, sickness, and destruction. In the mighty, matchless, miracle-working name of Jesus, I declare that cancer can't take you. By his stripes, you are healed. You've got life. You've got Christ, and that's the Word.
Amen. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk live right now. Ladies and gentlemen, forgive me for getting stumbled across my words and whatnot a while ago, but I was just having a moment, okay? You know, speaking of, I was having a moment, okay? We're going to, you're true, Jamie. I was going all over the place. Let's go back to John 1:1, okay? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what am I saying here? Make it plain, Evangelist Plan. Okay, glad you asked me too. This is the deal. Just like God demonstrated to us in Genesis, he had the Word. So what am I saying to you? Make it plain. What I'm saying to you is the only way we're going to effectively combat Satan, effectively combat depression, effectively combat anything that the devourer comes, we have to have the Word inside of us. We have to. I know this for a fact. God placed this in my heart, Jamie, some years ago. And the writing is on the wall. Not too long from now, they're going to take the Bible from us. Yes, I said it. They're going to take the Bible from us. And what is indicative of that, one, because he gave me that prophetic word, that's first thing. Secondly, the evidence is there. There are people that I talk with often, you know, from Africa, Skyping and that type of thing. Do you folks know that there are people right now across seas that have to hide the fact that they are Christian? They're getting beheaded. Yes, they're getting beheaded. They're getting their fingers cut off. There are some areas in the East right now, Sister Jamie, as you are very much aware of, that are scrambling just to find pieces of the Bible, and they hold on to those pages and they memorize it letter by letter, syllable by syllable, because they love God. But even then, they have to hide themselves. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
I absolutely am. I mean, if you think about the whole ISIS situation, just people, I mean, being beheaded, not just for being Christian, but being anything but Muslim. You know, people in China, you hear them talk about they can't have church above ground. They have to go beneath ground to have church. Like I say this all the time, the reason why we go through, and that's why I say I cannot complain, because the reason why we are in the position that we are in and we go through what we go through is because of the fact that we are way too privileged.
Amen.
We are way too privileged, and we take for granted. And I mean, I apologize if I hurt anyone's feelings, but I'm just really honest. Like, you know, but we take for granted the things that we have. And because of that, you know, we are going to, yes, America, it's coming. It's going to come a time when where we are going to have to fight just to get our hands on the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God said there will be a time where he will write the word of his word on our hearts. Because you're not going to be able to reach out and say, hey, let me grab this Bible and see what this Bible says about it. You're going to have to rely on the word of God. What's Psalm 119:11 verse say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You have to rely on the word that you know. Rely on the meat that you have taken in, the meat that you've eaten to last you and survive, to last you and cause you to survive in the days to come. Because it's going to be a mess.
It is. It is. And you know, when we have a call before I go to my next statement. Call with the number ending in 6195. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Just vibing again. My phone just cut off. See, the devil busy, but I'm busier right now. But you know what y'all were talking about, that, you know, knowing that word. We got to know it in our heart. Sometimes we don't understand what we watch when we watch on TV. Think about the book of Eli.
Oh, I was headed there. You beat
me to hell and high water to deliver that book, and it was taken from him, and they found that the book was in Braille because he couldn't see. But where was the book really? In his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we dismiss some of the movies, and they don't know. Those messages are in those movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're missing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Robin, I promise you, you beat me to it, because that's exactly where I was headed with that. The book of Eli is a book that everyone, I don't care who you are, young, old, rich, poor, everyone needs to see. Now, my dad is kind of old school, okay? so he told me, he calls me Stinker. He says, Stinker, let me tell you something. If you don't remember anything else that I've ever told you when I'm dead and gone, remember this. Anything that the man, whoever that is, whatever color he is, anything that the man creates, he will have already created it or he's on his way to creating it. Point being is there was a reason that movie, The Book of Eli, was put together. The movie is trying to tell us they're going to smash that Bible from us. That's exactly what the movie is telling
us.
Yes, it is. Amen. So what am I saying to you? We better get to reading, because before too long, we also are going to go through these things. Unless we're, you know, going on to heaven, going on to be with the Lord, you know, there's going to come a time that we're going to be struggling to find water. There's going to come a time that we're going to be struggling to find food. There's going to come a time we're going to be struggling to find a place to live. But then that's not indicative, even in through all that suffering, that God has betrayed us, God has left us, or any of those things, you know. And I think it's very important that we stay focused, guys, on what's important. Here is Focus by M. Renee Malloy.
Thinking of your grace and the things I do.
Beautiful. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk live right now with our featured guest, none other than the queen of gospel spoken word, Miss Jamie Hodges. You know, Jamie, we're going off topic just a little bit, but I want to get your input on something. In preparation for times like the Book of Eli, what would you advise that we do in the event, or when that happens? What type of preparatory things do you think that we should be doing in terms of preparing for that time period that's about to come?
Well, I can't say that I saw the movie, because I'd be lying. I hear you guys talking about it, but for me, I try to keep it simple. I have an older sister who is Catholic, and a younger sister who's in and out of church, and you know, just kind of like trying to find her way right now. And they kind of come at me, Jamie, have you seen this book and the Book of Judas and that and the other, you know? And I always tell them, I mean, for me, just for me, and the Bible. I respect everything that you guys said. That's why I kept my mouth shut, because I have not seen the movie. So I don't know exactly what it's about. And I do get the gist, the point that it is about them basically taking the Bible from them. But I'm the type of person where I scare easily. So I try to like work out my soul salvation with much fear and trembling. And I try to stay in the Word. The 66 books, there's 39 and 27. And those are words, ones I'm saying. I mean, my sister's laughing because they say I live in a bubble. But I do. I can't, because for me, I mean, I see so much. And not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual. And so when you're exposed that way, and you're exposed that way so that you can pray for people, so that you can intercede on people's behalf, you really don't have much room and much time to do pretty much anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned, like, I need to, I try to, the Book of Revelation, you know, it tells us, it breaks it down simple. Revelation chapter 22 breaks it down simple what we are going to go through. So the Bible says, you know, watch as well as pray. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, rolls about as a roaring lion, seek of whom he may devour. And then there are pictures, because the Old Testament conceals what the New Testament reveals. So there are pictures of what's going to happen in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, because you know we are living in the times of the New Testament. We're still under the dispensation of grace. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think about when Nehemiah's men were on the wall. How did they work? Because Tobias and Sanballat was, you know, taunting and stuff. So they was on the wall working. And how did they work? They had one hand on their weapon and one hand on their tool. Now, I think about it this way. You got one hand on your tool, that tool would be prayer. You understand what I'm saying? So you building a wall, keep building a wall. But your weapon, your sword, what is the sword? The Word of God. So you need one hand on the Word of God, one hand on prayer. Keep your eyes open. Make sure, because if you got to work with one hand, keep your eyes open. Make sure that you are fixed, and make sure that you, like the song just said, that you focus on God. Because none of this other stuff is going to matter. You understand what I'm saying? When one day says in the Bible, it says when one person says he's over here or he's over there, don't follow them, don't listen to them. You understand? Because there's going to arise many antichrists. So all that we can do is just take care of ourselves, make sure, like the five wise virgins, that our oils, that our lamps are oiled, that we have extra oil. Extra, you need extra oil right now, because the enemy is literally, like we said before, he's like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. But he's like a roaring lion, like the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. Not death, but the valley of the shadow of death. He's like a roaring lion, an illusion, walking around seeking whom he may devour. So we really need to keep our eyes focused on, I would say, for anyone out there, because I tend to scare easy. I know there may be people out there like me. For anyone out there that's thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do when this happens, don't concern yourself with that. Just get saved, get sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and live your life. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm being funny,
beautiful.
But that's just, you know.
That's the deal. That is the deal. That right there is bona fide talk. And that is the honest truth, Lady J. Let's touch on church hurt. Clearly, the enemy has infiltrated the church. I mean, we're not even going right this second to the extent of him having the unmitigated gall to go into a church in South Carolina to literally physically kill people.
My God.
That's horrible. In addition to that, we have demons in the church that are operating in various offices of preachers, ministers, evangelists, proper liars, all types of things that are prevalent in some churches that are killing our people and discouraging our people. Have you yourself ever experienced, as I have you yourself experienced church hurt before, Jamie?
Evangelist Solana, you're supposed to see her. Yes, ma'am, I have. I actually have experienced church hurt since I can remember going to church. When my father walked out on us when we were 10 years old, I tell people I still don't know whether we ran or he ran, but I know he did some things to my older sister that he should not have done. And so as a result, she can't have kids anymore, and we had no home. And so we were homeless for about 3 months. And then I was 10 years old at this time, so I was old enough to take my cousins to church and my little sister. So my grandmother lived in a very bad neighborhood, and, I mean, there were times when we would walk from one end of the street to the other, and we would dodge bullets, you know, and the people
wow.
at this particular church where we were at did not care. They would leave us standing in, I mean, I remember a couple of times where there were blizzards. And I didn't have pants because we really didn't have money. I had one pair of pants when I was in eighth grade. And it had, I'm going to be honest with y'all, I literally, these pants had grown so small on me that I had a hole in a place where I should not have had a hole because I had sewn it up over and over again, and I still had that same hole. So I had high waters on, and I'm standing outside in these trousers pants and waiting for choir rehearsal to start because I was in church 5 nights a week because I didn't know that I didn't believe God could see me. I didn't believe I knew who I was, but I wanted to serve God. So I'm in church 5 nights a week, and they would leave us standing outside for hours in blizzards, in straight-up snow blizzards, not thinking about us. Would not call us when they weren't having rehearsal, but I would stand outside and wait for hours in the hopes that they would show up. And, I mean, time would just pass by, but I would be shaking and shaking. And for some strange reason, now I really can't handle snow that well or wet weather. But when I was young, I always felt warm. I didn't have a good coat, but I always felt warm. And my cousin would go back across the street mad, and he's like, Jamie, come on, they're not having it. He would go talk to my grandmother. My grandmother would tell him, go get Jamie, and tell her, I said, come across the street, because I was staying outside for hours, for 2-3 hours at a time in a blizzard, easy. They would call around amongst themselves and wouldn't call us. They would have dinners at the church, and then they would talk about us. One of my cousins now still tells me that she remembers hearing them talk about us. We were the dirty kids from across the street, the poor kids. So it was difficult, you know. And I wrote a poem actually back then about, and I didn't realize it was a poem, but I wrote a poem back then about what I went through at this church. And then even dealing with like going, I mean, from church to church to church, and God just revealed something to me, I think maybe 2 or 3 days ago, where I was walking around, I think I told you about this, Evangelist Solana, where I was abused as a child. I was abused by two women in the church that I just recently came out of. I was abused by that church. I was abused by the church when I was younger. I was abused by my father. I was abused really bad by my mother. Abused by the woman. Now, they foster care, one diapers wanted to put me in a house, and I said, no, let me just find somebody in the church to live with. I was abused by that woman. So, my life has been full of abuse. And I thought about it, I said, God, why has it been me? Is there something wrong with me? He's like, no, there's a familiar spirit on you of abuse. There's a familiar spirit. That's why everybody that comes in contact with you ends up, because I said that once I get close to people, and I don't like getting close to people, but if I ever come in any way, a shape, or form of getting close to people, they start abusing me. It's almost like they can't help it. They become nasty to me. They start saying really nasty things. They can't help it. And so I had to pray. I was like, God, please take this off of me. Take this stench of abuse off of me, verbal abuse, physical abuse. Yes, my mother beat me till I bled. Absolutely. Like that stench of abuse, because people smell that on you. And once you have that on you, it's almost like they can't help but treat you poorly. So, I mean, abuse has followed me throughout my life, and especially, I hate to say it, but especially within the house of God.
Now, can you elaborate a little bit more, Jamie, on what you mean by the spirit of abuse being on you and how that precipitates people abusing you. I understand, but I want to make sure that our listeners are clear on that.
It's a difficult subject because a lot of people, I don't know the level of belief or the level of faith in a lot of our listeners. So I'm going to make it as clear as I possibly can. Whether you are a seasoned Christian or whether you have faith the size of a mustard seed, I'm going to try and explain this for you guys. And we all come into this world, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, okay? But as we live through our lives, just like you pick up things and put, just like you put down things, you pick up things. You're growing. You're learning. You understand what I'm saying? And seeds are planted. God allows in the church seeds, good seeds, to be planted in you because you're good ground. But the enemy, if you're not careful and if you're not constantly praying, because like the Bible says, pray without ceasing. There's a reason why Jesus told us to do that. If you're not praying without ceasing, the enemy can plant seeds of different things, discord and confusion inside of you. And so you have to constantly combat that with scriptures. God is not the author of chaos and confusion. I do have the mind of Christ. Declare and decree the word over yourself. You need to speak these things. As soon as you start thinking things that are out of line with God's word, you have to start declaring things that be not as though they were. You understand what I'm saying? Start speaking life over yourself. Because if you don't, you'll turn around and honestly, I'm in a position right now where I believe what I know. The two women that were in the church that I was just in spoke something over me about 10 years ago. And I was never told that I had this illness until they spoke it over me. They said, you are this. And from that moment on, I was diagnosed. I was told I was disabled and I cannot work. And that's serious. I expose what I deal with, but I have not exposed that to anyone. Two ministers in that church told me, you are this. You deal with this, you are this. And from that moment, I had never been told anything about this before, but from that moment forward, I was diagnosed as that, hospitalized, and I've been carrying that stigma since then. So you have to be careful. There's power. Now you got to think too. Also, if the enemy can speak words like that over you and have them connect to you, what do you have in your mouth? The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So yes, you and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Now there are some things, yes, that I'm living with because I did not. I said okay because there are certain things like if you don't counter that word, if you would say okay, I hear the word and I receive the word and I receive that word into myself. If you receive that word, then you're gonna live that word out. You will eat that fruit. But I should have turned that word around and said, no, I am the righteousness of God. I am the child of God. I have the mind of Christ. But I did not do it at that time. So since I allowed that word to sit and settle in me, I am now reaping a fruitful harvest of what they spoke over me. It's serious, y'all. It's nothing to play around with.
Absolutely. Let me ask you something. Do you think they spoke a root into your life?
I think they planted a seed that just like a plant, that grew roots and became a big tree and now has leaves. And I have spent time by me going to the doctor and taking medication and doing all these things. I've been cutting away at branches and branches and branches. And I have, but because God gives doctors knowledge. You understand what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? So they've been helping me deal with it. So I've been cutting away at branches, but God has not yet given me the power or the wherewithal or the strength to actually pull this thing up by the root for whatever reason. Because Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good.
For the good.
Even though this
Absolutely.
Thing was spoken over me, now here's the thing. I do not work, but God has supplied all my needs. I do have money every month when I need it. I do go to the doctor. I do get the therapy that I needed from when I was younger for getting my brains beat out. And also, I have time to minister and speak to people, or you know, about God's word. So God does work it for your good. He will work it for your good. However, that word was spoken over me, and I believe that seed was planted in, and that's how it happened.
Wow. Dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I denounce every demon that has come upon this woman of God. I bind every demon and demonic force that is trying to hinder this woman of God from coming forth. Dear God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus to give me the power right now. I rebuke that demon in the mighty name of Jesus. We know from our word that no weapon at all against us shall prosper. I say right now that she is healed. It says in the Bible, by his stripes she is healed. And our healing may come from a doctor. It may come from a pill. It may come from counseling. It may come from any form that it may. But dear God, I decree right now in the mighty name of Jesus that these demons that have come into this woman's life to try to stop her from bringing the word forth, those demonic evil so-called counterfeit ministers that had the unmitigated gall to try to bring curses against this woman of God, I decree right now that those demons go back to the dry places, as my sister Karen has taught me. You have absolutely no power at all against this woman of God. I decree right now that you have no power at all against any of us, because we are children of God. How dare you try to do something of this nature, try to stop this woman of God? You see, your plan is not working. She's still coming forth. This woman is loved all over the world, from the United States to Africa. And I decree right now in the mighty name of Jesus that she will excel. We will excel. And we are going to beat this demon.
Yes,
in Jesus' name we pray. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, glory. Jesus. How dare he? Around and gotten mad at the enemy right now, Jane, because, see, here's the thing. I know that he keeps the, I know for a fact that technology has been used for the good, but it's also been used for the not so good, because, see, I'm going to tell you what technology has done. Technology has made everything rush, 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 busy, 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 that people don't even take the time out like they should to read the word, okay? Yes, this is prophetic. I'm telling you this. Slow down. Take your time now to get the word. You heard her message, and you got the word. But if you don't read the word, you don't have nothing. You don't have the tools to fight the enemy. You do not. If anyone has a question or a comment or has a contribution to tonight's discussion, press 1 now. If anyone has a question or comment, all mics are open. If anyone has a question or comment at this time, press 1 now. Okay, Jamie, we are towards the end of our show. I want to thank you, sweetheart, for your wonderful testimony. My God. Jamie, you have a lot of projects up. There was someone that asked earlier, how do we get a hold of Speak Life? She fell in love with that. How do we get a hold of all of your material? How do we support you? How do we purchase your work?
The way I tell everybody to do it is go through iTunes. I'm basically on Spotify, Deezer, eMusic, just every retailer, Amazon. But Speak Life was from my first CD, and I think that everybody has taken it down except iTunes. So Speak Life, I would try iTunes or Amazon. If you can't get it through there, then just contact me, and I'll give it to you for free. I mean, I'm not going to hold them, because honestly, that's what I do for – I have a lot of fans over in Jakarta, Indonesia, and that's what I do for them. They can't – there's no way they can get it. They don't have the same system that we have. So, I know God, everybody says, yes, your gift will make room for you. Stop giving stuff away for free. I can't. You know, this is, I got the gift. Freely you receive, freely give. You know, so, yes, if you need it and, you know, you feel like God is leading you to, you know, listen to it, you can always listen to it on Bonafide Talk Radio, because I laugh at you a lot. I hear it over and over again.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
I get embarrassed every time I hear it, too. But, yeah.
I don't know why. Such an humble young lady you are. You're so humble. You're such a powerful force in the kingdom. And, you know, I don't care what those evil, trifling ministers have said about you, what they have tried to speak over your life. You know that you are still standing strong. You know what I mean? No matter what these knuckleheads have tried to do to you, to try to stop you from your – you mentioned earlier about being abused, you know, about being used, about all these different things, yet you still stand strong through that. That right there is just amazing. What I'm about to do now, guys, this is the song that she has just mastered. She nailed this. stand strong, guys.
You a boxer in the ring of life. Flat, shoulders on the ground. Referee shouting loud. 5, 4, 3, count down. Snap from the memory. Look up at your life. I'm coming back, and it's gonna be a good night. You've got to muster the energy to stand upright. Stand strong. This fight is tight. You better get it right. Stand strong. Success is in sight. Open your mind tonight. You can do more than you can even imagine with all the power that's living within you. Get a hold of yourself. Forget the past. Stand up and say, stand strong. Steady yourself. Stand strong. Stand strong. Step to your positive mindset and stand strong. Relax. You're depressed. Kicked in the back by life. Drowning out your stomach growl. Snap from the memory. Look up at your life. I'm coming back, and it's gonna be a good night. You've got to muster the energy to stand upright. Stand strong. This fight is your life. You better get it right. Success is in sight. Open your mind tonight. You can do more than you can even imagine. With all the power that's living within you, get a hold of yourself. Forget the past. Stand up and say, stand strong. Steady yourself. Stand strong. Stand strong. Step to your positive mindset and stand strong. Relax. You're on the floor. The fight of your life. No one hears because they are screaming just as loud. From the memory, look up at your life. I'm coming back. It's gonna be a good night.
Stand strong.
Stand strong. This fight is tight. You better get it right.
Stand strong.
Success is in sight. Open your mind tonight. You can do more than you can even imagine. With all the power that's living within you, get a hold of yourself. Forget the past. Stand up and say, stand strong.
Stand strong.
Steady yourself.
Stand strong.
Stand strong.
Stand strong.
Step to your positive mindset and stand strong.
Stand strong.
Your mind tonight. You can do more than you can even imagine with all the power that's living within you. Get a hold of yourself. Forget the past. Stand up and say, stand strong. Steady yourself.
Stand strong.
Stand strong. Step to your positive mindset and stand strong.
We're towards the close of the show. Again, we want to thank our featured guest, Jamie Hodges, the legendary queen of gospel spoken word. But before we go, if there's anyone that has a question or comment or an encouraging word for this evening's show, dial now 347-327-9688 and press 1. That's 347-327-9688 and press 1. All right, Jamie. What is your closing remark?
Yes, mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. I should have waited for you to say that, but I did want to say, I know that, you know, not too many people were able to call in, but I did want to say thank you to everyone that did listen. Thank you to everyone that wanted to listen. I'm grateful for you, for all of you that prayed for me, for this, you know, this interview to go well, for all of you that are praying and, you know, that's praying for me in general and that's praying in general for the body of Christ. Thank you. I appreciate you because the one thing that I grew up feeling like I felt like God couldn't see me. I felt like no one could see me, and no one knew I existed. I served God just because I felt like I was supposed to, not because I felt like he loved me, but because I was supposed to. And so I never want anybody to feel like they are unseen. So I see you. Even in the spirit, I see you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you just for being you, just for being around, just for listening, just for doing whatever you do. Thank you.
Amen. In closing, guys, no matter what, remember God has promised us that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. And proof of that, John 3:16, verse 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
Yes.
That right there says volumes. You are the head and not the tail. And I don't care what Satan says. You are victorious. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen.
Yes.
And as always, guys, keep God first in your walk, baby. That's Bonafide Talk. Have a good night, guys.